Indeed, we are not alone. You are not alone. God is with us, not just within these walls, but always. Thank you, choir. Thank you. What a blessing that is. As I was considering this scripture, I was reminded of a story I heard Sam Holmes tell about a guest preacher who was in the pulpit and got to preaching, and his wife was sitting in the front row. And a few minutes into the sermon, a man sitting next to her leaned over and whispered to her, "Why, that poor fella can't preach at all." The wife was greatly disturbed by this and leaned back over to him and whispered, "Do you know who I am?" He said, "No." She said, "I'm that poor preacher's wife." Well, he felt terrible. There was a long, awkward pause as he dwelt in the embarrassment of what he'd done. And after a time, he leaned back over to her again and whispered to her, "Do you know who I am?" And she replied, "No, I have no idea." And he said, "Thank God." From now on, we regard no one from a human point of view. If anyone is in Christ, he is in a new creation. He is a new creation. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting the world's trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So now we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Several churches ago, we had this idea. We were looking around, and in this congregation, there were no young adults and no families. That generation seemed to be missing. A lot of churches struggle with that demographic, with that generation. And we had this idea to start an experience, not quite a worship service, but a meaningful experience in a space and in a format that would be welcoming to folks that never come to church. And so we did. We thought about the music. And instead of an organist or a choir, we got a DJ. And we decided to arrange these experiences around a theme. So, for example, if we were going to be talking about love, we would have the DJ play like "One Love" by Bob Marley. We might have Tina Turner ask the question, "What's love got to do with it?" We might even have a song like the Proclaimers, "I Would Walk 500 Miles." You know that song, "I would walk 500, you know? And it's not quite a church song, right? But it talks about love. He would walk 1,000 miles, 500 miles, and 500 more just to be the one who could say that I'll be with you at your door after having walked 1,000 miles to be with you. Not exactly sacred music. But it wasn't bad either. And we met in a lounge, and the sermon would be very interactive and discussion-based, not just interactive like the Amen corner saying, "What do you say back there?" Amen. Ah, there we go. Not just that kind of interactive, but people asking questions and saying, "I disagree with that," or "What do you think about this?" And it was really a great experiment. It lasted about a year or so. There were a few folks who really found some meaning, and one person got baptized there as a result of that, and they continued their journey toward a life with Christ. We were ambassadors, if you will, bridging this divide. There's a lot of folks in our culture, in our world, that don't know what goes on inside buildings that have steeples on them called churches. And there's a lot of folks in our buildings that have steeples on them called church buildings that don't get out much into the world, that don't go to lounges and places like that, right? Even though Jesus was always sort of bridging that divide, sometimes we're not so good at it. An ambassador has to go out into a place where things are really different and has to try and translate the perspective, the interests of her home country into the culture of the locals, and has to represent the interests of the locals back to her home country. That's hard. It's hard to be an ambassador. I was in the home of some folks from the Democratic Republic of Congo, which is a French-speaking African nation. And they were recent immigrants. They were here in, it was in Raleigh, and they had an apartment, and but they were still very much immersed in their home culture. And when I got there to visit with them for the first time, I noticed that in their home, the whole family was barefoot, all right? I mean, they had jeans and stuff on, but they were barefoot. And so what do you think an ambassador would do? Off came the shoes, and off came the socks. That was the first pastoral visit I'd ever made, barefoot in someone's home. But soon, that didn't make any difference. They were so hospitable. We talked about family and love and friends and struggle and joy. We read in Paul's gospel, in Paul's letter here to the Corinthians, we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. I recently read about a monk who is known as one of the desert fathers. Back in like 300 AD, a long time ago, there were these folks in the region around Egypt, and they were Christians, and they would want to live a really pure lifestyle, and they would want to overcome temptation. So they'd move out into the desert, and they'd live with almost nothing, and they'd spend decades there contemplating God and worshiping God and thinking and trying to resist temptation and purify their souls. Well, one of those desert fathers was named Abba Arsenius, and he consulted an old Egyptian monk about his own thoughts. And someone noticed this and said to him, Abba Arsenius, how is it that you, with such good Latin and Greek education, ask this peasant about your own thoughts? And Abba Arsenius replied, I have indeed been taught Latin and Greek, but I don't even know the alphabet of this peasant. He was being something of an ambassador. He was learning from this person who he knew nothing about their language, how they thought about the world, the wisdom that he had gathered. We have many guests with us this morning, and of course we welcome you. And most of our guests, our friends, have small children. So many of you, with some exceptions, of course, you who have small children have not yet embarked on the joyful journey into parenting teenagers. Now, these little adorable ones singing about fuzzy wuzzy bears, they're cute, except when they're not, I know. I see them. Dads and moms, you are still heroes in their eyes. Savor every moment of it. See, something happens. Right now, these little ones pretty much wear whatever you help them get dressed with. They go with you wherever you go, but soon, in fact, exactly on their 12th birthday, everything changes. This latent gene that is nested in their little brain somewhere all of a sudden becomes manifest, and they start rolling their eyes. And they start learning and perfecting the art of slamming doors. And they start learning how to butter you up so they can ask for car keys. And they learn to talk like this when they turn about, well, now it's what, six, right? They don't use the spoken word anymore. And you will be lost, parents. You will need a youth group and a trusted youth leader like our beloved Miss Pam, who can be your ambassador, your translator, if you will, who can translate the emotions and care and love that you have for them into words that our youth understand, who can represent your hopes and dreams, who can teach about things that really matter, that build up, that represent God's desired future. You'll see, we preached on this a couple weeks ago. You will have the equivalent, you'll type LOL to your student, thinking it means lots of love, and then discovering with horror that it really means laugh out loud. We want so much for our children, for our families, for our communities. I know sometimes it seems like we just want to make it through the day alive. Do we have any people who are in that place right now? God, if I can just make it to my bed again tonight at 3:00 in the morning, you know, it'll be a good day. We wonder, especially parents of the small ones, we wonder if we're bad parents for enabling our children to subsist on a diet of macaroni and cheese and chicken nuggets. But one of the reasons we are here this morning is to remind each other that God gave us each other. That there are big forces at work in the world, and some of those forces wish to see things come apart. The families that we are trying so hard to make and keep together, there are forces in the world that want to tear those apart. The forces of evil, of temptation, of sin, that they take many insidious and persuasive and pervasive forms. They whisper in our ears that we are the sum total of what we inherit or buy or finance, that we are only successful human beings if we manage to get our kids into the best preschools so they can get into the best elementary schools, so they can get in the best high schools, so they can get to the best college, so they can get the best job, they can make the most money, they can have the most toys. And there's something in our culture that wants us to believe that. So we are here as ambassadors for Christ to remind one another that we are all God's children, that we are so much more than those fake perfect pictures that we never measure up to. There is something greater than having a social media persona that is perfect. There is something greater than how much we can accumulate. And we are Christ's ambassadors to remind one another that we are not alone, that we live in God's world, that there is something greater than what the world offers. We are here to remind each other in this church that the forces of this world might try to keep us apart from each other. These insidious forces try and distract us from loving our children. These evil, sinful temptations try and keep us from seeing the very image of God in our brothers, in our elders, in our mothers, in our neighbors. The forces say that we need to get as much as we can so that we can be self-reliant. They say that we need to deceive others into believing that we have these perfect families when we don't. So we are here as Christ's ambassadors to say, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Jesus said, fear not, for I have overcome the world. We are here as Christ's ambassadors to say, bring us your true selves, who you are really, in all of your glory. We are here to remind us of that. We are here. Bring your authentic self. We know, we all, every person in here, regardless of how nice we look right this minute, wakes up with hair all messed up. Well, I'm sorry, not quite everyone wakes up with hair all messed up. We wake up with bodies that don't work like they used to. We wake up and we look in the mirror, and, well, at least I do. I'm like, what, who? Oh, that's me. Gosh. The bags underneath our eyes. We, all of us, we curse at appliances that break. We curse at folks privately under our breath that cut us off in traffic. Sometimes, occasionally, we don't serve balanced meals. We often throw away what could be recycled. I want you to know, as an ambassador for Christ, you can bring that self here. And by here, I mean to the church, God's people, not just within these walls, but the greater church, the church everywhere, God's people living it out. We want to grow in our love for you. We, as Christ Church, love you because God first loved us, because God loved us so much that God sent Jesus, who Paul says was without sin, was perfect, never hurt anyone. God sent this Jesus to become sin, to take it upon his shoulders and die for it, so that the power of death could end and we could experience God's love as a new creation. In this church, you see, we have purple banners up here. We're in the season called Lent. It's 40 days before Easter, and we're reflecting on how we're just ordinary people, warts and all. Sometimes we make bad decisions. Sometimes we buy the wrong thing. Sometimes we act impulsively. Sometimes we don't forgive. We make bad decisions. You're welcome to come back next Sunday. It's not Easter or Palm Sunday, but then we're going to have communion next Sunday. And in the Methodist Church, when we have communion, which is open to everyone, we say we confess that we have failed to be an obedient church. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We mess up, and we're all in the same boat. Welcome, you who are guests, to to a church of messer uppers. That's what we are. We remember that it was and is God who makes the first move toward us. God knows what we have done, what we have thought, who we have hurt, and God says, yes, but you are so much more than the worst things that you have done. You are made in my image, and I love you. That is what God says to each and every one of us. You are not beyond my love, God says, and I have sent my people to be ambassadors for me, God says, so that you can learn to love each other and learn to be loved and accepted by each other, so that you can learn to show forgiveness by learning of my forgiveness, God says. We are so much more than our faults, our cracks, our warts, our shortcomings, our bags under our eyes, our bad decisions. We are the beloved community, and we are so glad that you are here. It sounds great in theory, but what does it look like in practice? I don't know if I can describe it. I don't know if I can teach it, but I have seen some pictures of it. Like one time a boy came into the service. It was several churches ago for me, and we lived next to a great big community of folks that really kind of struggled in life. And there were some kids that were wandering around all the time, wandering the neighborhood. And so I was midway through the service one day when I heard, what's that sound? And sure enough, the doors opened up, and it was a boy dribbling a basketball midway through the service into the sanctuary. And with the other hand, he was eating Doritos. He'd never been to church before in his life. Now, our congregation could do two things at that point. They could say, get the heck out of here and learn to behave and show some respect and then come back. Or the congregation could do what this congregation did. And some parents that recognized what was going on, that recognized this young man, sort of acted like surrogate parents for him in the sanctuary and says, let's just put the basketball right over here just for a little while, and let's take these Doritos and we'll roll them up and you can eat them in a little bit, and we'll make sure, you know, that you get them back, and let's listen to how beautiful the choir is about to sound. And so they loved them and embraced them, and that little boy kept coming. It was wonderful. I saw at another church that had a cemetery next door, another young person, a teenager, who would cut through the cemetery on his way to the convenience store, and he earned the ire of the church folks, because sometimes he would leave a styrofoam cup in the cemetery and desecrate, you know, that sacred ground. Well, no one had ever told him what it was or why it was there. So another parent, like the one that I had described before, kind of took that young man and got a hold of him one day and said, you know what? Do you see this rock here? This square rock, it has a name on it. That's somebody's grandma. You know, this is a place where she is buried, and it's really a special place, and we need to learn to be respectful of it. And so then a few weeks later, I was watching, and there was a basketball court next to the cemetery, and the ball went into the cemetery. I happened to see it. The kids were playing, and the same boy went to get the ball. We'll see. And wouldn't you know, he picked up some trash, and he straightened the flowers. And he sort of was the ambassador all of a sudden for how you should treat this sacred ground. We are ambassadors, and we're recruiting others ambassadors. Ambassadors for Christ, talking about being reconciled to each other. Of course, starting down a path like this, loving your neighbor, being reconciled with people that aren't very reconcilable, is scary. We have this notion that loving someone who might live different than we live might somehow tarnish our sacred reputation, but that's the very kingdom that Jesus promoted. That was Jesus' path, to eat with folks that the world said were less than desirable, and to befriend them and walk with them, to heal them, and I'm sure to sing with them and laugh and cry with them. Some religious folks look down their noses at these folks. But Jesus did what Jesus did to be reconciled even to those religious folks. That's the Jesus Paul is talking about. That's the Jesus who has led us. It's the Jesus who will lead us. That's the kind of reconciliation and ambassadorship that Jesus and Paul is embodying and advocating. In the end, it's the calling that we're called to. It's the life that Christ invites us to follow. And it's the kind of community that we are a part of, which you are invited to join or continue in, this God's body, Christ's body, the church, to support and make. When we join a community, this community, we're not just someone who somehow buys into some experience. We begin to try to create the church that we hope to see. The church is a family of people who are reconciled to God and on a journey of reconciliation with each other, who are forgiven, forgiving, and learning to forgive. Even learning to forgive those who aren't very good at forgiving. Sometimes we don't get it right, and we have to confess that to one another. Sometimes we have some sharp edges. Sometimes we're not very good at this ambassadorship, and yet we press on. You might say you've tried it before, it's hard, it doesn't work, it hasn't worked. You might say that, but folks before Jesus also said, look, if someone is dead, they're going to stay dead forever. But Jesus died, and we believe at Easter, rose again, destroying the power of death, and invites us to eternal life as well. I want to close with something of an object lesson that I didn't bring things along, but if you want to build something strong, the congregation has seen this before. I did it as a children's lesson early on. If you want to build something strong, you know those shiny Easter eggs? You know those plastic Easter eggs, shiny, they come in half and you put stuff inside? Imagine that I had like 10 of those right here, and I tried to build a tower with those Easter eggs. How would that work? Wouldn't work very well at all, would it? Smooth, polished, beautiful, shiny Easter eggs. You can't build much with that. But imagine I had a bunch of rocks, craggly, dirty, sharp edges, flat on some side, round on others, just all different shapes. You think you could build a wall or a tower with a bunch of craggly rocks like that? You could, and it'd be really strong. That's what the church is like. People that are welcome to come, not just putting their best feet forward with shiny and polished and all that, but actually rough-edged, dirty, sharp even in some places, willing to be built into something really strong and beautiful and wonderful. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. If anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of fitting together our craggly, rough, sharp little bricks and blocks into something strong and beautiful. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be reconciled. Be ambassadors for Christ. Amen.